first bite, but we can adapt it.
Who knows what may come next?
Breakfast? Come and get it. With Peter.
G'day.
Russell.
G'day.
Clark.
Yes, good morning. Australia's favourite celebrity chef, Peter Russell Clark. And normally, of course, we're full of hijinks and frivolity and a few foul words. But this morning, a slightly more sombre tone, Peter Russell Clark, because you've actually, you spent a lot of time in the country, in Victoria, and of course, that part of the world very, very seriously devastated last week. How close were you?
And still.
Yeah.
And talking about foul language, F-O-W-L, they've had a bad time in the bushfires, as have all
the animals.
The bush animals.
Yeah.
And the reason I stay in the bush is I'm not allowed into the city very often. Normally they have roadblocks of people leaving the city going into the country. With me, they reverse it, the buggers. But yeah, the fires were bad. They were all around us. We could see the flames to the right and the left and the fore and aft. It wasn't pleasant, but God was very good to us. He must have been playing pokey or something, because we didn't have a problem. The fires were coming towards us, and then the wind changed and blew them onto some other poor buggers.
You've been doing your bit though, and doing some cooking for
that. Well, attempting what I thought was a good idea. During the tin mining in Cornwall, pasties were invented, and it was simply food that was wrapped in pastry, and the pastry was just really like the first brown paper bag. But there were two handles on each end of the pasty, which looked like an admiral's hat, and that was because the tin miners, having dirty hands and tin on their hands, which is poisonous like lead, were able to hold the handles of the pasty, eat the middle of it out, and then chuck the two handles away. So I thought that was a good idea for the firefighters, who had dirty, grubby hands too. So pasties went out to them.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So your community really rallied together then?
Yes, I think all the communities have. Off to the left of us is a place called Reedsdale, and one of the major fires was at Reedsdale, and tonight the local pub is having, of all things, a bloody barbecue. All the locals will go along and get pissed as parrots and commiserate, and I'm going along to that. Whether I actually cook or drink is debatable. In fact, I'll probably do both.
What a good
idea.
A good
combo. Speaking of cooking, what sort of food-related things do you want to talk to us about this week?
One of the cheapest cuts, one of the cheap cuts is often about your mother's sexuality or your own particular brain power, or where your neighbours or relatives were related to apes or whatever. But those sort of cheap cuts are not as good as gravy beef, which is the cheapest cut one can actually get, gravy beef.
Peter, are you saying the first cut is the cheapest?
What'd you call me?
We've got Peter Russell Clark in this morning. We're going to take a couple of tracks, come back, and have a look at a recipe featuring some very cheap meat indeed.
Breakfast? Come and get it. With Peter.
G'day.
Russell.
G'day.
Clark.
Yes, Peter Russell Clark in this morning, and we're talking cheap cuts.
Cheap meat.
That's right. Well, gravy beef is it is the cheapest. And when one buys gravy beef, take it home, throw it in a pot with some water, throw in some herbs or a bit of tomato sauce or chopped onions and garlic, and then boil it for a couple of hours. And the real reason you boil it for a couple of hours is it gives you time to finish a bottle of claret. But also, the meat is so tough that it needs that. And it's called gravy beef because it's bloody good for gravy. So you end up with a big pot of gravy and a lot of fibre sitting in it. If you're wealthy, you can throw the fibre over the neighbour's fence, or else cut it up and stick it in a pot and put some pastry on the top of it, and you've got a pie, because the meat is no longer tough after being cooked for 2 hours. It doesn't have any flavour, but the juice around it has great flavour. So if you're wealthy, chuck the old meat out and chop up some porterhouse steak, drop it into the gravy and cook that for about 2 minutes or so and serve that up, and it's absolutely beautiful because you've got the wonderful flavour of the gravy beef and the tenderness of the porterhouse. Personally, I don't do that. What I do is put a lot of vegetables, chopped up vegetables, in the gravy and just cook it up. It's really, really makes a nice pasty, for instance, or a pie, or
just a nice stew.
A nice stew, exactly. Mm. Yeah, so it's really a wonderful thing. I also often poach an egg and then just pour the gravy beef sauce over the egg. Looks awful, tastes great.
And that's why, Peter Russell Clark, you are Australia's favourite celebrity chef.
Yes.
Am I?
Yes.
Why am I? Because of what?
Well, because you've got all the recipes that matter. That's why.
Hey, no, but it's bullshit. I make them up. They're not true. They don't work. For Christ's sake, this is radio. It doesn't matter, does it?
Don't you know that people are out there trying all your recipes every week?
Feverishly.
They end up with a fever when they try too hard. Well, I feel very good now thinking that people actually... Now I'll have to start making the bastards work. He did.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, PRC. All right. On Triple J.